Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Matthew 28, look at verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary to see the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment was white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Now look at this. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He said this, I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Boy, I like this. I'm just saying in our terms, without discrediting the Bible, he ain't here no more. He's done got up and took off somewhere else. He ain't here. He's risen today. And I want to look at just a little thought here on Easter, I guess. I don't have no name for it. Somebody think of a good name, give it to me after service, and I'll name it that, all right? Father, we love you today. We thank you, Lord, for being good to us. Thank you, God, for your blessings today. Thank you, God, for loving us, Lord, the way that you do. God, I stand amazed at your goodness and at your grace. I stand amazed, Father, at the way you bless Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Father, what all you've done down through the years here. And God, I pray that you would ever help us, Father, to remain a shining light in the midst of our community. God, may people know that when they drive by this place, Lord, that something's happening. It's a lively place and a place that loves people and gives life through the preaching of the gospel. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here lost, that you save them today, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated today. You know, I want to look into these verses and really just use it as a launching pad today on the resurrection or on the crucifixion or on Easter this whole time that we're talking about. Now, I'll say this again, I'm sure, before the end of the message, but today and what we celebrate today separates us from all other religions in the world today. All other religions in the world today had a quote-unquote little G-O-D, had a little God, but that God is dead today. I thought about the song that they just sang. If you walk by the tomb of Buddha, guess what? He's still there. Boy, on and on we could go about that. If you was to go to Mother Mary, she's still there. If you was to go to Muhammad, he's still there. If you was to go to Joseph Smith, he's still there. I'm reminded of the story that was told by Brother Mace Jackson years ago. He said that he was visiting the Holy Lands, and whenever they got to the tomb where Jesus was laid at, said there was a little girl run up in front of everybody and looked inside the tomb and came running back out before they got there. And here's what she said. There's no need to go down there. There is no one in there. Thank God he is not there today. Jesus is alive and well and seated at the right hand of the Father today. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we are, everything that we believe, everything that we do, everything that we base any basis of anything on, all goes back to one individual, and that's Jesus Christ. Can I just say this to you today? It's all about him. Everything that there is, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ today. Let me tell you what makes everybody upset today. The name of Jesus. Use the name of God all you want to. Just don't use the name of Jesus. Why? There's something about that name. There is no other name like the name of Jesus. You know, it's interesting. I'm not going to preach on this, but I'm going to throw it out, and then I'll move on. It's interesting. When you study the book of Ruth, you'll know that Naomi starts to go back, and whenever she does, Orpah and Ruth starts to go back with her, and she ends up telling them to stay behind, and they don't, and they go on with her a little ways. And then Naomi mentions this. It's interesting. She mentions there is a near kinsman redeemer that is back there in the land, somebody that could purchase them and take care of them, and them belong to him. And you know what? That's when Orpah turns and goes back. Hear me and hear me well. She was interested in going as long as there wasn't a Savior. Hear me today. Thank God I'm just not interested in church. I'm just not interested in a Bible. I'm just not interested in dressing right. I'm interested in a near kinsman redeemer, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, think about this by way of introduction. I'll preach in just a minute. Think about this by way of introduction. Who is this person, Jesus Christ? Are you? Who is he? You said, preacher, I know who he is. Well, let me tell you a little bit about him. Before there was creation, there was a Christ. In the beginning was the Word. Amen. Before creation, there was a Christ. Before there was sin, there was a sacrifice. Before there was a grave, there was already glory. Man, we can close and go home on that. Can I say it again? Before there was creation, thank God there was Christ. Hey, before the foundation, I've done lost half the church. Before the foundations of the world was ever laid, Christ already was. Before there was sin, guess what? There was a sacrifice. Before Adam and Eve messed up in the garden, guess what? Already in the portals of glory was a man named Jesus. And before there ever was a grave, there was glory. Think about this, his divine identity. He's the Son of God, eternally coexistent with the Father. He's the sovereign of the galaxies. According to Colossians, he's the creator of all things. He's the source of grace. According to John, he was full of grace and truth. His divine identity. Think about this. Before time, he was the Alpha. Beyond time, he will remain the Omega. What did Revelation say? Said he was the Alpha and the Omega. He was the beginning and the end. Think about his divine involvement. I'm headed somewhere. Stay with me. His divine involvement. There was a prophetic ministry fulfilling every prophecy of the Old Testament. There was a priestly ministry because he reconciled sinners back to God. But there was a powerful ministry because he went about preaching and healing and forgiving sin. Think about his divine humiliation. He was scourged with flesh torn and bloodshed. He was spat upon, mocked as a false king. He was stricken, but chose to suffer. Can I just say this to you? When you think about him being scourged and spit upon, and you think about him being stricken, I thought about this week. You know, they gambled for his robe. And somebody won that robe. You ever thought about this? Whenever he got that robe back home, I wonder what he done with it. I wonder where he put it at. I wonder if maybe 3 days later, when he heard that he got up, if he went to see if it was really true. And they found him and they came back and they found that robe that he had bought. Can I just say this? When you're around him, it will affect you. No doubt about it. Think about this, his divine utterances on Calvary. There were 7 different things that he said. He said, Father, forgive them. He said, today shalt thou be with me. Woman, behold thy son. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst, Father, into thy hands. I commend my spirit. And he says this in John 19, it is finished. He never said, I am finished. Let me tell you the reason why. He was just getting started. Oh, yeah, you say, no, he died. Yes, he did die. But I'm telling you, the work of Calvary was just getting started. And never does he say, I am finished. But the work of crucifixion, it is finished. I thought about this, his divine triumph. Is everybody still awake this morning? I'm just talking about Jesus for a minute. His divine triumph. Well, the curtain was torn. It's a symbol of access to God. The Christ was risen. He is not here, for he is risen. The conqueror was alive. Why? Because he got up. This week, I spent a lot of time on the road this week going to McDonough and back. And if you're going to drive to Atlanta, through Atlanta, you're going to spend a lot of time on the road. Especially in Atlanta. We come through Atlanta at 10 o'clock the other night, and it was still backed up. Got to Spartanburg, or not Spartanburg, but Greenville. I believe Greenville's worse than Atlanta anymore. I spent a lot of time on the road, and coming back, Victoria and Leslie said, look, let's drive back Thursday night after service. We'll miss all the traffic, and we'll not have to fight the traffic. They weren't going to fight the traffic anyway. We'll not have to fight the traffic. I said, sounds good. We'll be right there with you, Dad. I spent a lot of time by myself Thursday night on the way home thinking, listening to a lot of snoring. And I got to thinking about this man named Jesus. And I got to thinking about the last few days leading up to today. The last week leading up to today. And one thing that I done that I've not done a long time, I got to thinking about some of the people that was there. You ever thought about Matthew chapter number 27, and I'm not going to take time to turn this place. You ever thought about Judas much? Judas, for 3.5 years practically, lived with the Lord Jesus Christ. Walked everywhere with him. Saw the miracles he'd done. Watched him raise the dead. Judas was there for every bit of it. But ended up selling him out at the end. He had a head knowledge of who God was, but didn't have no heart knowledge of it. And I'm going to tell you something, Judas, now, and I'm going to preach this, and y'all can say amen or oh me, we'll get on by it, but Judas represents a lot of people in churches today. Boy, they'll walk with him. They'll raise their hand. They'll act like everything's all right. Boy, they've got a real good head knowledge of who the Lord is. But whenever they walk outside the church doors, they sell him out. They sell him out. You hear me and hear me well. If you act different outside here than you do in here, if your kids see somebody different than who you are while you're at church, you might need to get right. Well, maybe I can rephrase that. You do need to get right with God, and you may need to get saved. Judas, man, whenever you study it out, Judas ends up taking that money. I read through this story again last night of Judas. Takes that money and gives it back. And, of course, you know, they don't take it. They go make a cemetery with it, and we could go on and on about that. What did Judas do? He ended up going out and hanging himself. What a way to end the life of a man that was so close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something, and I'm not gonna preach this morning. Judas didn't go to hell because he killed himself. Judas went to hell because he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Judas went to hell. Judas, I thought about this one. There was a soldier in John 22. I'm headed somewhere, and I'm going to give you a little thought here in just a minute. I told you I didn't have no title, okay? I'm just going to preach all about Jesus and crucifixion and Christmas and Easter and everything. I just got to thinking. John chapter number 22. Jesus is in the garden praying. You with me? Why he's in the garden praying? We know Judas sells him out. They come to get him. And whenever they come to get him, there's a soldier that starts to put his hand on him. I'm not quoting this verbatim. An old wild man, y'all know who I'm talking about, don't you? Grabs his sword, cuts his ear off. Jesus touched his ear. You read that. He touched his ear and he was made whole. You know, I've always heard it said that Jesus reached down, and he picked the ear up, and he said, I'm going to heal you, and he stuck it back on his head. Bible don't say that. Just said he touched it. He was made whole. I don't know if he just put his finger on it and the ear jumped back up and flew back up on his head. I don't know. But I know this. That man was in trouble. You know this. You get a cut around your ear, Brother Tim, it bleeds bad. I'll never forget, Brother Elijah, one of the calls I was on one time, and a man's ear was cut off. Man, there was blood going everywhere. That man's in trouble. He didn't go that night looking for Jesus in the right manner. He just went, I don't even know if he done it out of rebellion. He's just doing what he's told to do. He's just a soldier. He'd bleed alive somebody else. And he got down there where Jesus was at. And you know what Jesus could have done? Jesus could have let him just lay right there and bleed out and possibly die. But what did Jesus do? He reached down and touched his ear, and the man was made whole. Could you imagine the story he told his family when he got back home? Maybe if he's married, maybe his wife walks up to him and says, Hey, come here a minute, honey. You got a little dirt on your ear. Did you fall or something? Let me get that dirt. You know the way Mama used to do? Slick her finger. Could you imagine what he said? Probably ain't no doubt about it. He broke down crying and said, let me tell you something. They're going to crucify a man. Everybody's been saying that he is Jesus. I just got to report something to you, honey. That really is him. Everything that they've said, maybe he did. What about that centurion? Remember that centurion in Matthew chapter number 27? He was there and saw all of it. As the blood run down the cross that day, that centurion looked up as Jesus gave up the ghost. And here's what he said. Truly, this was the Son of God. Boy, his life was never the same. His life was never the same. You ever thought about this? John chapter number 30, or Matthew chapter number 27 again. Yeah, I'm headed somewhere. There's a guy that's locked up in prison. And everything that he's done, he's guilty of. And he's fixing to be crucified. His name's Barabbas. Anybody ever studied him? His name's Barabbas. And they bring Jesus out. And they say to the crowd, whom shall we crucify, Jesus or Barabbas? Who do you want us to release to you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate says, this man's done nothing wrong. I find no fault in him. And they cry out the more, release unto us Barabbas. Maybe he walks back home that day and walks in and he's got kids. I don't know. You don't know. Maybe he does. Whenever he walks through the doors, the kids look at him and go, Daddy, what's the difference in you? I thought you was going to die today. I thought today was the day of crucifixion. And maybe he sits down and says something like this, you ain't never going to believe what happened today, youngins. I'll never be the same again. Oh, yeah, I was guilty of I was guilty of everything that they throwed at me. But I'm going to tell you what happened. There was a man that everybody's been talking about for the past 3.5 years that was there today, and his name was Jesus. And they all wanted him killed. And guess what happened? He died in my place today. Kids, I'm here today because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm walking today because of him. You ever thought about, I'm about to where I'm going to preach for an hour. I'm really not. I'm going to preach for an hour, but I really am about there. You ever thought about Peter the week of the crucifixion? You ever thought about him? Everybody wants to give Peter a bad rap, but I personally, it's me and you've heard me say this, I think he was Jesus' favorite. You say, no, it's John. I know John referred to himself as the one that Jesus loved. I'm going to tell you, I think Peter was his favorite. Who preached on the day of Pentecost? Peter. Jesus is talking to him. Peter says, he tells Peter not to go with him. You with me right there? He tells him don't go with him. But he he says, Lord, I'll go with you even unto death. And he says, Peter, no, don't go with me. You know, let me tell you the reason he was telling him not to go with him? Because he knew if he followed him, that he's going to end up denying him. If Peter would have just listened to the Lord right there, he'd have saved himself a lot of trouble. But he didn't. That's another whole message there. He didn't. He thought he knew better. Anybody ever been there before? You thought you knew better. You thought you knew a better way. And the whole time the Lord was saying, you better just pump the brakes, old son. What happened? He follows him. He denies the Lord three different times. And something interesting is said about Peter. He went out and wept bitterly. Why? Because he denied the Lord. But aren't you glad that's not the end of the story? About 53 days later, you with me? About 53 days later, he's fixing to die. 3 days later, he's going to get up. 40 days later, he's going to ascend. That's 43 days. 10 days later is going to be the day of a Pentecost. About 53 days later, this guy that's denied the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he's going to get to do? He's got his heart right with God now. God didn't set him over on the shelf, but Jesus said, you know who I'm going to use that day? I'm going to use Peter. I'm going to let him stand up and preach in the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, and 3,000's going to get saved. That's the kind of Jesus that Jesus is. So what is Jesus to me today? What's the resurrection to me today? What's the crucifixion to me today? What's the life of Christ? Because when we get to this point, it's been 33 and a half years coming. What is the life of Christ to me? Maybe that's the title, Miss Shannon. Number one. You ready? I preached all morning to get here. Number one, it's just 11 o'clock. If you'll give me just a little bit of time. Number one, that was your Sunday school lesson. Now it's preaching time, all right? What is he to me? I would say this. He's an atonement. He is not here, for he is risen. This is completing everything Jesus has come to do. Now, I know 40 days later he's going to send back into the heavens and he's going to send the Comforter to us, which is the Holy Ghost. But up to this point, he has completed what he came to do. He came to die. He come to be buried. He come to resurrect, thank God. What is that to me? I would say this to you. It's an atonement today. Listen to what the Bible said in Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5, verse number 11 says this, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received, here it is, the atonement. So what does atonement mean? Are you ready? Are you ready? You need to write this down. Here's what it means. Exchange. Adjustment of a difference. Listen to this word, reconciliation. Here's what it means, restoration to favor. What is atonement? It's an exchange. Let me tell you what Calvary was. Let me tell you what Jesus was. Here's what Jesus was and what Jesus is. He is our atonement today. Who did God say it came through? It came through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it was you and me that was guilty of sin. It was not him. Jesus never sinned the first time. He was a man that knew no sin. There was no sin in him. There was no guile in him. There was no fault in him. But you know what he was willing to do? He was willing to walk yonder to Calvary's hill and lay his life down willingly and die on a cross called Calvary. What is that to me? That's an atonement today. That's an exchange today. I should have been the one dying. You should have been the one dying. We was guilty. We messed up. We sinned. We failed God. He never did. Oh, but thanks be unto God. He was willing to pay my sin debt. It's an atonement today. What is Calvary to me? It's an atonement. It's an exchange. It's me living and him dying. It's me having my sins forgiven and him taking my sins upon him. That's what it is today. that reconciliation or restoration to favor. Why was man created? To fellowship with God. That's why he was created. Genesis chapter number 3, Adam and Eve messed that up. Wherefore, by one man sin entered in the world. So death passed upon men, for all have sinned. Why are you and I created? We're created to fellowship with God. We're created to talk with God. But we messed that up. You say, well, it was Adam and Eve. You'd have done the same thing. We messed it up. And you know what God said? God looked over at the Son and said, here's what's got to happen. The Son already knew it because the Son knew everything, because He's co-equal with God, co-existent with God, co-powerful with God. It's a triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It did not take the Son by surprise. And you know what Jesus said? I'm willing to do it, God. I will go to Calvary. I will die. I'll give my life. Why? So I can talk to God. Oh yes, it's reconciliation. It's brought back in to favor. Number one, it means that there is an atonement. Number two, watch this. It means that I'm alive. I'm alive. Hey, I'm alive. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you? You say, well, preacher, have you lost your mind? No, I'm asking you a question. Are you alive? What did the Bible say? Here's what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You know what that word quickened means? Here's exactly what it means. It means made alive. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus, Brother Justin? He said, you must be what? Born again. Now, if we was an old mountain preacher, we'd say it this way. You got to be born. They put that duh in there. Born again. My Papa Barker would always say that. It's good to be born again. You know what he told him? He said, hey, listen, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. He said, how can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? And he goes on to talk about salvation in John chapter number 3. Hear me and hear me well. Yes, I was a sinner and on the road to hell, but there was an atonement made, and I accepted that atonement, and now I'm no longer dead to sin. I'm not dead to the things of Satan anymore, but I am alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, I'm alive today. I'm alive. I don't have to worry about going to hell. If you wasn't in the sunrise service, Brother Nick closed it out this way. My last point is this, and I might not be quoting it verbatim, but I'm really close. I'm not going to hell. Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not going to hell. Thank God I'm alive in Him today. Let me tell you the reason so many people continue doing the things that they do, because they're dead. Let me tell you the reason a lot of people have a form of godliness denying the power they're in, because they're dead. Tell you the reason they don't live for God, because they never started living. You remember that old song? Maybe we can learn it one day, Brother Matt. I just started living. I found me a brand new life. What are they saying? They're saying this. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Hey, July the 20th, 1994, I walked into the church with a dead soul. But thank God that night I came out with an alive soul. Oh, yes, it means I'm alive. Number three, I don't have but 8 points. Number three, I really don't. I'm not going to tell you how many I've got. Number three, what does it mean? Here's what it means. It means there's been an atonement. It means that I'm alive. But here's what it means. It means that I have access. Now, I like this one real good. I got access. Let me just read you something. Ephesians 1, Miss Stephanie, if you want, or Ephesians 2, if you want to find that. I'm going to pick up. We done read verse 1. Listen, verse 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also We all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But watch verse 4. But God. Let me tell you what happened. July the 20th, 1994, I had God buddy in my life. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together. Now listen to this. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How am I able to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kingdom toward us through Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that we were being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, watch this, made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, after the atonement's been made, after we've been made alive, man, this may not be helping you, but it is me. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of the Lamb. Let me tell you what it is today. Here's what it is. I've now got access to God. I now can talk to God. I now can fellowship with God. Why can I do that? All because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I now can fellowship with my Heavenly Father. Number four, I got 4 points. Number four. What is it? It's this. This is my favorite one of all of them. The resurrection, the death, the burial, the life of Christ. To me, I really think that I can sum it up. If I had to, it would probably be this last word right here. What is it? Because of that, I now have an advocate. I now have an advocate. Let me read you a verse of Scripture. 1 John chapter number 2 says this, "My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have," watch this word, "an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So who is the advocate with the Father? It's Jesus Christ. That's just good Bible preaching right there. It's Jesus Christ. Well, I got to studying that word advocate. And I went, if you're not using it, you're missing out. I went to Blue Letter Bible, and I looked this word advocate up, and here's what it means in the Greek. It means a paraclete. That's the Greek word for it. And here's what it means. Miss Tanya, come start playing. It don't mean that, but come start playing. Here's what it means. Summoned or called to one side. Summoned or called to one side. It means this. One who pleads another's cause before a judge. A pleader. Counsel for defense. Listen to this. A legal assistant, an advocate, one who pleads another's cause with one, an intercessor. Here's what it is. It's a lawyer. It's a lawyer. You say, I ain't done nothing wrong. Why do I need a lawyer? Yeah, you have. Because the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know what Easter is? Easter's an advocate. Hey, answer this for me. If he was still in the grave, what could he do? But he ain't. And because he ain't, you know what I've got now? I got a lawyer. I got an advocate. I got a paraclete. Here's what it means. Summoned or called to one side. I got somebody that walks with me, Brother Josh. You know what the devil's doing? You know what the devil's doing? He's probably not messing with you. Read your Bible. There's very, very few in the Word of God the devil messed with. Very few. Did Peter. You with me? He did Job. I tell you what's messing with you, probably a demon. The reason I say that is because, boy, I've done lost everybody and blowed your theology. The reason I say that is this, the devil's not omnipresent. The devil can't be everywhere at the same time. So if I say he's on my back and you say he's on your back and he says he's on his back and she says he's on her back, somebody lying. Or you all together one. Are you with me? Biggest part of the time it's a demon. We battle demons more than we battle Satan. All honesty. Again, I've lost everybody in that. But it's true. But you want me to tell you what Satan's doing right now? When we see Satan in the book of Job, where is he at? He's in heaven. He's at the throne of God. You know he's doing it. Don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Do we need to go read the book of Job together, chapter number 1? That's where he's at. You know what he's doing before the throne of God? Simply, he's doing this. He's looking for somebody to jump on, and he's accusing man before God. So here's what's happening. In heaven, Satan stops by and goes, "Hey, Lord, you know old D.C., don't you?" God says, "Yeah." I hope God says, "Yeah." We're going to preach him as he's saved. He says he is. God says, "Yeah." He says something like this. "Do you know D.C. lost his temper yesterday? Do you know D.C. smacked Miss Regina across the face?" I hope he didn't do that. "You know, Brother D.C. just blessed her out." I know he didn't do that as far as smacking her because he's here. Y'all get that in a minute. She'd have wadded him up. Anyway, come back. And God says, "Oh, really?" You say, "Preacher, that's not the way it's happened." Just let the Lord help you. You don't know that. Says, "Oh, really?" Yeah. So that's what DC's doing, yeah. "And did you know that 2 years ago he done this, that he done that, that he acted like this, and he acted like that?" And God says, "Oh, okay." He says, "Well, if we're going to bring up charges against somebody, is there anybody here that can represent DC? Is there a law..." I might preach another hour. "Is there a lawyer in the house? Is there anybody that will testify on the behalf of D.C.?" And all of a sudden, this man sitting at his right hand speaks up and goes, "Yes, sir, I'll be glad to." God looks over at Jesus and he says, "All right, son, what do you have to say about him?" And he begins to flip maybe through the book of life, and he says, "Yeah, right here's his name." And he says, "Well, what's listed underneath his name?" And he says this, "I don't see nothing. Only thing that I see is my blood. I don't see nothing else. There's nothing but my blood there. So, Satan, all you've got to do is go back to hell and quit worrying about him, because my son is pleading his case. And according to my son, he's already paid the price. He's free. We got an advocate today. We've got somebody to represent us today. You ever have him get up on your shoulder? You ever had this week, I know y'all never deal with this, but this week, some of the things from my past, boy, just really laid in my mind. I've been studying on the prodigal son, and I'm glad the prodigal son came home. Somebody give me an amen. But the prodigal son left some things in a far country that was a mess. You can come home, but it's still going to leave some things out there messed up. I'm going to preach on that before long, but watch this. I got to think about some things in my past. And boy, I sat in there Thursday night. They got done singing. It's my time to preach. I had a ladies' ensemble sing right before I preached. It was underneath the big tent. And boy, all them things in my past were awesome, was just running in my mind. And I thought, who am I? Who am I to walk up there on that platform and open my Bible and preach? Boy, as wicked and as vile as I've been. And you know what happened? All of a sudden, somebody came alongside of me. That's what that paraclete does. Came alongside of me. And he said something like this: "Hey, son, it'll be all right. I've took care of every bit of that. I don't remember none of it. It's all underneath the blood." And you know what I done? I walked to the platform, opened my Bible to the book of Exodus, and preached about 30 minutes as hard as I could, and sat down soaking wet with sweat, and sat down with no voice. And you know what I was excited for? That I had an advocate. I had somebody to plead my case. Romans said this: "Who is he that condemneth? It is not Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is he who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us?" Romans chapter number 8. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted for as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Why? Because we got an advocate. We can't be separated from God. Why? Because he died to save. He rose to justify. He lives to intercede. And guess what? He's coming back to reign. That's what Easter is to me. Father.